Welcome in, everyone, to the Real Estate Investing Show. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor, founder of the turnkey real estate company called Morris Invest. And I love doing these Q&A shows because you get to send in some really thoughtful questions and we get to attempt to try to answer them here on the show. And what I love about this style is that it might not be your question. You know, it might not be a question that you're struggling with, but very often we can just learn so much from someone else's question and listening to the answers that unfold as a result of that. Now, you can leave us a voicemail question with anything that's on your mind related to real estate investing by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton and just dropping us a 30-second voicemail question there. Now, I will attempt to get through this. I have been recovering. Thank you for your kind emails. I did have COVID. Yes, I'm fully vaccinated, but I got COVID about, a week and a half ago and knocked me on my ass. I mean, literally, I thought I was going to die. And so really, really bad, but came out the other side of it. So now I guess I have like that super immunity. I don't know. But it is no fun, no bueno. Every part of my body hurt. And I still have some headaches and still can't smell anything. So, but at least now coming out the other side of this. So anyway, and gave me a lot of time to think about projects and things that I do want to do here on the show and other things. So that at least that was a good thing. So without further ado, enough about me. Let's talk about you. Our first question today comes to us from Ozzy. Ozzy, take it away.
Hi, Clayton. My name's Ozzy Lawless. I just had my initial conversation with one of your people, Megan. She gave me this number to reach out to you. I currently own rental property. It's a vacation rental property, which is doing quite well. I have a pretty good positive cash flow, and the value on the home has gone up tremendously over the last 12 months. When's it a good time to pull the equity out of an investment property and use it for another investment property? Thank you.
Thanks, Ozzy. Well, I cannot give you financial advice. I can't tell you when to, you know, to invest or to take money out. You know, I'm not a financial advisor. By the way, financial advisors are pretty awful anyway. But anyway, so I can't give you that advice. But if it were my property, I would take out the equity immediately. Remember what I always say here, you know, you cannot eat equity. So if you've got $5,000, $10,000 in equity, maybe you don't want to do anything with that just yet. But if you've got a significant amount of equity just sitting there, not doing anything for you, then I would absolutely personally be leveraging that equity to be able to buy additional rental properties. Pull out that equity of that investment that's sitting there cash flowing, doing nicely for you with interest rates as low as they are. And with banks chomping at the bit for business right now, this is an amazing opportunity to take out some equity in those properties. Now, why would I say that? Well, you know, if someone's paying attention right now and doesn't understand why I think that way, again, when you're sitting on equity in a property, it's doing nothing for you unless you leverage it, unless you utilize it. So this house is rented. You have no intention of selling the property. It sounds like it's a great rental. So now you've built up $50,000, $100,000, $150,000 in equity because you've paid down the mortgage. And now a bank is willing to put a loan on this property and hand you a home equity line of credit that you can use as a down payment on other properties. So to me, this is one of the untapped resources that people just don't believe they have access to. Now, you're in a unique situation. You've already spoken with our team and spoken with Megan. That's wonderful. And you have a rental property that's performing. For a lot of people, it might be your primary residence, a place that you're currently living in. And you think, well, God, this is not a performing asset. This is a liability. I'm living in this house. And what am I going to do? I have a mortgage. I'd love to get it started with real estate investing. You might have equity in the property you live in. And that's kind of a roundabout way of taking a liability, which is a home you live in, and converting it to a bit of a performing asset, because now you can pull the equity out of your primary mortgage, primary house, take that $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 and use that towards a down payment on a great rental property. Now that equity that was sitting there doing nothing for you, nothing. And I really mean that. You know, you've got another 15, 20 years on your mortgage and you've built up a nice chunk of equity in the home you're living in. It's not doing anything for you. You cannot eat equity. It's not paying your bills. It's basically a fantasy number on paper. But why don't you actually use that fantasy number, turn it to cash, you know, turn it into a cash flowing asset. Now take that $70,000 or $100,000. That's two down payments on rental properties. Now you're cash flowing thousands of dollars a month. From now, you own real assets that you use because a bank gave you a home equity line of credit. So Ozzy, I would say, you know, if this were my property, I absolutely would be pulling the equity out as soon as I could, as long as it made sense. You know, if it's $5,000, $10,000, maybe not enough to really work with there. But if you've got a sizable chunk of change, that's just equity sitting there. Get a home equity line of credit, leverage that asset. And that is how the wealthy people do it, right? Wealthy people continue to leverage. Buy until you die. Leverage, leverage, leverage. We are a debt-based economy. You know, once Nixon took us off the gold standard, we turned into a debt-based economy. That's how Wall Street makes billions. Why shouldn't you? You shouldn't be left in the dark on that. All right, our next question comes to us from Maddox. Maddox, take it away.
Hey, Clayton. My name is Maddox Vic. My wife and I, we own a condo here in San Diego, and we owe about, let's say, $440 on it. And we thought that, you know, these condos would be selling around $700. I just pulled comps on it, and we saw two of our exact models sell for $800,000. And so now the question that we have is, do we sell and take profits? We wouldn't have to pay any capital gains on it and just put that money in the bank and use that to buy income properties. Or since we are trying to build a rental income portfolio, should we pull equity out of the property and use, so basically keep the property and then use that equity to invest in other properties and so forth. And so that's the question that we're struggling with now. And then, you know, do we pull that in the form of a home equity line of credit or something like that and use that as down payment money? All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Maddox, for the question. Okay. One thing, though, I'm not clear about because you didn't tell me in your question is whether or not you're living in the property. It sounds like you are. It sounds like it's your primary place, primary residence. It seems that way. I could be wrong. I'm going to go with that assumption because it's California. Hopefully. Because in California, I would never buy a rental property. You know, like California, it is the worst place in the country to invest in real estate. Okay, from a single family or even a duplex, no way. The numbers just are way out of whack. You're going to pay way too much, and the return on investment will not be there. Plus, it's not a landlord-friendly state. So the list goes on and on and on for reasons why I would never invest in California. I think most of our clients at Morris Invest that we work with that buy one of our new construction rental properties in Texas and some of our other locations, most of them are from California. if I have a wager to say, like 70 or 80% of our clients are from California for that very reason. So chances are you probably own the property in San Diego. You're living in this condo. Great. Now you're seeing those comps. I would say, look, there's a lot that you need to take into consideration here, right? And again, I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you what to do with your money, right? I can tell you what I would consider doing. But let's say I'm living in San Diego and I'm looking at the current market and I'm saying, wow, this real estate market is on fire. And if I could absolutely sell this property right now, my wife and I, we're planning on moving. Great. If we're planning on moving, then strike while the iron's hot. Take this $800,000 comp, run to the bank, get that money, right? No capital gains. You've lived there for over 2 years. Boom. Right? This is a huge chunk of change you could put right into additional income properties. One thing you may want to consider doing, of course, is talking to, depending on how you have this house structured, you want to consider doing, maybe looking into a 1031 exchange. Again, I'm not sure if you own the property primary residence or not, or if it's a rental yet, but you may want to consider a 1031 exchange. But because of the capital gains issue, you might not have to worry about that. So I would definitely consult with a 1031 exchange expert if it's worth doing that so you don't have to deal with any of the taxes. But as you mentioned, you're good to go on that, the capital gains side, so maybe we don't need to worry about that. But personally, I mean, if I was going to move and I didn't want to live in this condo anymore, then absolutely I would take that money. And if I had 800, like, let me just do the math on that. Like if I had $800,000 and if like a down payment on, as I always say, one of our rental properties at Morris Invest is around 40, 45,000, right? For a brand new construction, the best school districts, rental property with a tenant already in place, cash flowing. So 45, 50,000, think about that. Taking 800,000, dividing that up by those that amount of down payments, you could easily pick up 5, 6, 7 rental properties with that money. Again, depending on where you plan to move and live and if you're going to buy and rent, you know, again, all of these things are subjective, right? But having said that, I just, if you're thinking of holding on to this property and turning it into a rental property in California, I that's where I would definitely caution you against doing that, because the ROI is just never going to be there. You have an opportunity to get a cash chunk of $800,000 or more right now. That's phenomenal. The ROI from a tenant in that property is, there's no way, there's absolutely no way that the cash flow from that property and the ROI is going to make sense. I'm just telling you right now that the return on that investment is not going to be there. Even if, I mean, even at 400,000, you know, my limit for paying for single family homes, you know, my numbers on single family homes, like you do not go start spending like 400,000. That's where you're just, the return on investment is not going to be there. So I think I would consider that, Maddox, that talk to a realtor, as long as you have a game plan of where you're planning to move and, you know, you're not going to be living in this property. You can save some money with a rental. I would caution you against like buying a property in California. The numbers just do not make sense. It is just such a state that is such, it is so incredibly out of whack, from an ROI perspective, that you're very often much better off, renting a property than buying a property in California. That way you're not having to pay the taxes and the upkeep and everything else that comes with a primary residence purchase. So yes, sink that money into some rental properties. That would be my suggestion. All right. Thank you, Maddox, for that. And boy, good luck, man. I think that's exciting. I think that's really exciting. All right. Our next question comes to us from Molly.
Hi. I'm nervous about investing out of state and having a property management team take care of everything. So what do you look for when picking a property management company, and how do you trust them if you're not available to physically check in on things? Thanks.
Thank you, Molly. So this is one of the biggest and the most important questions about becoming a real estate investor. You know, you're creating a team. You want to have a team around you. You do not live in a vacuum. You know, you are not an island. You have to have a great team around you. And the way that I am able to operate our rental properties is with a great property management team. So that's very important. Like when our team at Morris Invest, like when we're vetting property management companies, number one, and by the way, I have a whole video on what we look for in a property management team. I would check that video out. We'll link it in the description below, as well as we have an interview with our property management team. So you can see the process they go through. We walk through the office. You can see the screening process for tenants, all of that. So I would encourage you to check out that video. We'll have a link in the description for you to check that out. A couple of things. Number one, we want to make sure that they have been in business for at least 5 years, that they use great software, up-to-date standards rental software. You know, whether it's AppFolio or there's a couple different ones, but you know, those are the top of the line ones. How do they screen their tenants? What kinds of criminal background checks and all of that do they do on the tenants? How do they place the tenants? What types of lease agreements are in place? How regularly are they communicating with the tenants? All of those things, incredibly important. Do they have a great relationship with the tenants? You know, when in our walkthrough video of our property management's office, you can see tenants in there, and we even pulled some tenants aside and interviewed them. And like, oh, we love working with them. So the tenants like the property management team. That's incredibly important. They don't have like an adversarial relationship. Bottom line is, I don't ever want to have to deal with tenants and toilets. I don't ever want to have a phone call from a tenant. I don't want my iPhone ringing because a tenant has an issue. No, there should be a team, a property management team in place that can handle a faucet that's leaking or some issue. right? They'll handle that through their maintenance department. They will make sure that the tenant is getting ready for their lease renewal. Hey, your lease is coming up in a month and a half. Are you considering staying in the property? We'll extend the same rental rate, et cetera. All of those discussions are taking place ahead of time. Are they proactive? So with a property management team, you shouldn't have to worry about any of that. And that's why when people say to me, wow, I can't imagine owning rental properties out of state. Well, how do I handle that? What do I do? Well, the answer is you don't do anything. You hire a great property management team that handles everything. Now, I've got properties all over the United States. I don't ever see them. Almost all of them, I've never even set foot in. I've never seen the property. I have a great team that takes care of making sure that those properties run flawlessly. And that's how you run a business. You know, if you want to be in the business of property management, then that's a whole second job for yourself. You know, you want to set up software and do all that and spreadsheets and be on the phone with the tenant and checking in on them to make sure they're paying rent on time and all of those things. That's a full-time job. So I'm happy to pay a property management company a percentage of the rent every month, whether it's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% of the rent. It varies depending on what state and so forth. But I'm more than happy to make that commitment to a property management team. And by the way, that number that I'm paying a property management team is figured into my return on investment number, you know, into my internal rate of return number. Like all of those numbers are in my spreadsheet. So this is not just like an added expense on top. I've already thought about it. I've already plotted everything out, and it's still a fantastic investment, even with me paying a property management company to manage it all. It's an expense for my business and a very valuable expense, one I'm very, very happy to pay. So thank you, Molly, for that question. If you'd like to ask us a question, you can just go to Morris Invest, our website, morrisinvest.com, and leave us a voicemail question. We'll be happy to answer it for you. We try to keep your questions about 30 seconds or so. All of you did a great job with that today, so we can get to more questions and keep them tighter. So thank you, everyone, for allowing me to push through here with this shortness of breath and the COVID cough and whatever else I've got going on. So thank you so much for your kind words and your time today. And go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to create wealth and to preserve wealth. We'll see you next time.